ladies of Wings, it is a joy to be here and talk about God's work, because the work that I am going to share is all the fruits of our Lord. It's a joy to share my humble story of how the Lord called me to put my faith into action and how Our Lady was instrumental in opening my heart to that call. It was in January of 2019 that I first experienced Lectio Divina in Indianapolis, surrounded by 20,000 other Catholics. At the SEEK conference, I learned that Lectio Divina, or divine reading, is not the same as a Bible study. I wasn't being asked to interpret scripture, thank God. I was being invited into a personal encounter with Jesus through his word and in his word. I was being invited to step into the Bible. To say the least, I was amazed. The Holy Spirit began to open my heart to both scripture and to Jesus in a completely new way. In one prayer, I found myself at the wedding feast at Cana. Mary was right in front of me, radiant and beautiful. Jesus and his disciples were there, along with the family and the friends, the bride and the groom. The celebration was so joyful, until you know the story, right? The wine ran short. Mary turned to Jesus and said, "They have no wine." Jesus replied, "Woman, my hour has not yet come." And then Mary turned to the servants and said, "Do whatever he tells you." How many years had I read or heard that gospel story but thought, that wedding is over. The servants, they're long dead. A miracle occurred. There's nothing for me here. But in that moment of Lectio Divina, I realized I was one of those servants. The Lord was calling me. And Mother Mary, it was her motherly words of wisdom to do whatever he tells me. So slowly I began to understand that being a servant of Jesus meant both listening to his voice and responding to where he was calling me to be. But where? In scripture, Jesus is clear. Love your neighbor, follow me, forgive others, go and make disciples, pray. I love Mother Teresa's words. I am a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. Through prayer, I came to see if that I wanted to live fully as his beloved daughter, I needed to become a part of that love letter. A couple of years before the SEEK conference, we moved to Old Town Orange. I told my husband I wanted to be able to walk to church. Big sinners need to live within walking distance of church. At my new parish, my pastor was newly reassigned. And I was curious. I broached him one day to ask, what are we doing for women facing unplanned pregnancies? The question, seemingly random, was really whispered into my ear by Our Lady. Where were they, these women? Did they feel welcome, ashamed? Did they know Jesus? He told me two things. How about you do something about it, right? We've all been there before. Be careful what you ask your pastor. But he did share, before you do anything, make sure you spend time praying in adoration. And I did. Within weeks, I began volunteering at the Life Center of Santa Ana, a pregnancy resource center just 1 mile from my home. It turns out I could walk there too. I'd like to pause here to say thank you, St. Martin's. You have been supporting the Life Center of Santa Ana for so many years, and in fact, your parish continues to be the number one supporter of the work that we do. So thank you for that. Whether it's the October Walking with Moms collection or the Mother's Day Rose event, you give, give, and give. The photo on the left was taken 5 years ago at our old location. Deacon Dennis came with Brendan and Kelly and delivered two checks of support. The one on the right is one of my favorites. It was taken at our current location after we invited Father Bruce to visit last summer so he could see firsthand the impact of your support. And of course, we fed him lunch. The best part, this is all the Holy Spirit, is your former pastor, Father C., is now at my home parish. I emailed him last week to let him know I was coming. Father, I'm going to go see the ladies at Wings. Can I tell them a message on your behalf? Can I say hello? And he said, absolutely, Megan. But when you use my name, please don't use it in vain. So we can go to the next one, Lisa. Thanks. My formative years were shaped by my mother's enthusiasm for topics like the Equal Rights Amendment and reproductive rights. A prolific artist, she came to identify as a radical feminist, and her paintings and photography reflected those views. She would often remind me that a woman has a right to her own body. Mom was also outspoken about not wanting to read the Bible because she thought it was sexist. It's disgusting, she would say. It's filled with he, him, and his. It was a confusing time. Rather than grow in virtue, I grew in doubt and discouragement. Author Matthew Kelly says that discouragement wounds a child's identity and that these wounds shape self-image, relationships, and even the ability to believe in God and trust others. This kind of woundedness can lead a child to ask deep questions. Do I matter? Am I loved? Does God care? Is life worth living? My mom, who had stopped practicing her Catholic faith before I was born, carried wounds of her own. When I was 16 and started getting serious with a boy, my mother took me to our family doctor for a prescription she hoped would protect me from an unplanned pregnancy. There was a quiet fear there that I might repeat mistakes she had already seen too close to home. Thus began a period in my life when I questioned who I was and whether God could love someone like me. It wasn't until years later that the Lord slowly revealed to me the truth of who I was, breaking through many layers of doubt, discouragement, and shame. Megan, I formed your inward parts. Megan, I knit you together in your mother's womb. Megan, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I love you. You are mine. You are my beloved. With the light of Christ penetrating my heart, I couldn't help but wonder if the women whom I encountered at the Life Center knew that they were God's beloved. What the Lord was revealing to me, the Sisters of Life gave language to. Oh, I think we're on the next one. Sorry. I got to pay attention. What the Lord was revealing to me, the Sisters of Life gave language to when they released their Into Life series, which captures what it means to deeply listen to and understand the heart of another. How to rejoice in the beauty of the individual person, and how to truly accompany someone into God's life and freedom. Freedom in love. Even though my team is faithful, the heaviness of the world can make us forget our belovedness on any given day. And if we forget who we are, if we are not being filled up with God's truth, we cannot reflect it back to the women we serve. This series is that powerful reminder, so powerful that it is part of our annual training at the Life Center. Every human person is a gift. Every human person is intentionally created by God out of love for love. The human person is meant to be loved, not used. We must not treat ourselves cheaply. You are good. You are sacred. You are chosen. It has been a joy that the sisters have actually visited our center on 3 separate occasions. Oh, I wish I could become part of that sisterhood, right? God revealed to me the sacredness of the word dignity. He showed me that dignity is not something I needed to achieve, but something I already possessed simply by who I am. I am his daughter. He is my father. The women I encounter at the Life Center are his daughters, and many of them have never before heard this language of love. They too have wounds. I began to understand why God had brought me to the Life Center. By sharing the good news of our dignity, I could help create, even in a small way, a culture of life. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. I also came to see that this message of dignity wasn't just something to explain. It was something to live, not simply telling women who they are, but receiving them and encountering them the way that Christ does. We are his beloved. We are royalty. In the book, The Imitation of Mary, Father Quan Tran says, when we are tempted to give in to doubts, fears, and anxieties, let us remember whose daughter we are and adjust our crowns. Our Father is the King of the universe, and we are his princesses. The King will not let anything harm his family, but will do everything to protect and take care of his children. We even keep a beautiful crown in the lobby of the Life Center as a reminder of this truth. Henry Nouwen, a great spiritual writer, says, Jesus is the beloved of God. As the beloved, he is sent into the world so that through him, all people will discover and claim their own belovedness. Wow, claim their own belovedness. This is the truth I aim to share with every woman or man who walks through our door in how we receive them, listen to them, and love them just like Christ. Thank you. Just recently, the Artemis II astronaut Victor Glover reflected from space that as we explore the cosmos, one of the deepest truths we discover is love and the profound gift of being human. I thank God that I did not have to travel to outer space to realize this. I only needed to open my Bible. It was in coming to fully understand my own dignity, I came to fully understand the dignity of the unborn. The National Catholic Bioethics Center teaches that the unborn child is a living, whole, and distinct human being from the moment of conception. But if a person does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ and does not fully understand their God-given dignity, they may never come to recognize the dignity of the unborn, even if they are gently reminded that they too were once unborn. My mother was smart in teaching me that I do have a right to my own body. What she did not understand was that this right extends only until it affects the life of another body, another human being. The Baby Olivia video, released by Live Action in 2022, shows human development from conception to birth in a way that makes something invisible suddenly very visible and very beautiful. Can we jump to the next slide, I think it is? Yeah. There's Father C. And we'll go to the next one, please. Yep, and the next one. Sorry, I am looking for the baby Olivia. Yeah, there's a picture. Okay, go back. Thank you. There it is. Perfect. Thank you. We're caught up. Okay. So this baby Olivia video, released by Live Action, shows human development from conception to birth. It is powerful to witness this. This is great to watch on a Friday night with your families if you have not seen it. Did you know that fertilization, your gender, at fertilization, your gender, ethnicity, hair color, and eye color were already determined by God because he knit you together in your mother's womb? I am so grateful that my mother chose life for me. I long for every woman in a crisis pregnancy to come to know this truth for herself, that she is beloved, and so is the life within her. Okay, now we can go. Yes, these photos are from our previous location, which as you can see was very humble. We were grateful for it. It served us and thousands of clients very well for many years. But I began to realize that something in me longed for more, not more in size or success, but in dignity. I wanted a space that better reflected the sacredness of the human person, a space that was safer, more welcoming, with room for programs that could accompany mothers and fathers, and a place where we could reach even more women at risk for abortion. Our humble space looked more like Aunt Sally's basement than anything else. It functioned well as a resource center, but the Holy Spirit began to stir something deeper in me, that we weren't only called to be a resource center, we were called to be a care center. And then with the previous director retiring, it became a Holy Spirit moment of transition that allowed me to place our Catholic identity more fully at the center of everything we were doing. And so I brought that desire to prayer. I asked God to open doors I couldn't open myself, find us a larger and nicer location, bring us the team that we needed, and guide every step forward, and he did. Thank you. It became obvious to me that if we wanted to evolve to provide better care, we needed God. And we needed to safeguard not only the future of the center, but our board, our staff, our entire team, so that what was becoming a flourishing ministry of love within the Diocese of Orange could endure and stand the test of time. We needed to proclaim our belovedness, rooted firmly in our Catholic identity and religious protection. We needed Our Lady to wrap her mantle around us, and we asked for her intercession every step of the way. Mary models for us all the graces and virtues we needed in this next chapter so that we could do what her son was asking us to do, to be true handmaids of the Lord. As God was performing miracles around and at the center, I was regularly updating my pastor, not Father C, he wasn't with us yet. And he became so excited by the reports I was sharing that in one of our check-ins, he said, "What do we have to do so our church can buy the Life Center?" In the midst of all these blessings, I came to see that our mission could not only be about saving the unborn, it needed to be about bringing mothers and fathers and families back home to the church. My own mother had walked away from the church, so this part of the mission was very personal for me. At its heart, our mission is really a ministry of accompaniment. The Life Center of Santa Ana advances the culture of life by building Christ-centered relationships with those at risk for abortion and provides the real support needed to choose life. It became clear that diapers and wipes are not enough to give women the confidence they need to move forward in an unplanned pregnancy. Only relationships can save babies. And our hope is that through our relationships with vulnerable families, they come to form relationships with Jesus. This photo on the right is of Kim Brown, a longtime volunteer at the center, along with her beloved Christina and Christina's two sons. Kim first met Christina while she was praying on the sidewalk outside the abortion clinic as Christina was pulling in. By the grace of God, not only was baby Nicholas saved, but there have been many sacramental blessings since then. It is a talk in and of itself, those blessings. And make sure you check in with Kim because there are more blessings on the way. Relationships save babies. Kim's friendship with Christina has transformed Christina's life. And Christina's friendship with Kim has transformed Kim's life. Holy, Holy Spirit. James, in this picture, the older brother will one day be a priest. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's here. Be sure to talk to Kim. Next slide, thank you. St. Martin's hosts a monthly prayer vigil outside the abortion clinic, and you have been doing this for many years. Thank you. Many of our moms come to the center because of the hope you provide to them on the sidewalk. A brochure, "Hey, I know a place." Perhaps the following has happened to you before. Imagine you encounter someone pulling into the clinic while you're praying the rosary. You gently motion, "Hey, roll down your window. I have a brochure for you." And she does. But then she challenges you. "Why should I keep this baby? What are you going to do for me?" That's a powerful question deserving of a response. She's right. Remembering God's love letter to the world, this is where our little pencil must become part of the solution to the devastating reality of abortion. The gospel story of the Good Samaritan brings this kind of care to life. The victim is lying on the side of the road, wounded and helpless. Only Jesus, the Good Shepherd and the Good Samaritan, is fully able to meet all of those needs. The victim needs his wounds cared for with oil and wine. He needs transportation to the inn. He needs payment, coins for the innkeeper to shelter him. He needs ongoing care. He needs love. He needs relationship. Somebody is going to check on him. We can't do everything for every vulnerable mother or father, but we can do our small part to help her or him claim their belovedness and to become part of the solution, a solution rooted in love. What virtues has the Lord blessed you with that can make a small deposit of hope and love in the life of someone vulnerable? How can you help advance the culture of life? Maybe you are already doing it and you don't even realize it. Anytime you offer some, "Hey, I like your smile. Wow, not only did you claim your belovedness, you gifted her," reminding her of hers, right? On the left is a bulletin ad from St. Killian's Church. Within 1 week, 2 babies were saved because of this ad. Not because a vulnerable mother saw it, but because someone who knew her and cared enough about her to bring her to us did. She chose to claim her belovedness. 2 babies saved because of 1 bulletin ad. Imagine if every parish ran a bulletin ad of a pregnancy care center. Thank you. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe and it will be made true. Settled at our new location, we expanded our services and transitioned from being a pregnancy resource center to becoming a pregnancy care center, or as I like to say, a culture of life center. What that means is this: our teen and young adult moms are already in crisis. It takes so much courage for them to walk through our doors. And if we were to simply hand them a brochure and send them elsewhere, oh, someplace else you can go, we're going to miss the very essence of care that she needs in that moment. We needed to wrap our arms around our moms with a circle of love and authentic support, care and compassion, not only during pregnancy, but after birth and beyond. I am so grateful to God that our board approved the St. Mother Teresa Benevolent Grant. This grant allows us to identify the very obstacle that is making a woman feel trapped as if abortion is her only option and step in with real tangible support. Because sometimes removing that one burden is what makes space for hope, allows her to breathe again, and allows the Holy Spirit to enter in. These young women are part of a modern-day gospel story, and they are the ones lying on the side of the road. We need to care for them. Our client intake forms help us to understand the layers of vulnerability and challenges our clients are facing. They also help us to know about previous abortions, family or partner support or lack thereof, and whether or not she believes in God. With this confidential information held in our hearts, that's when we enter into the consultation room. We call this room our sacred space. In there, she's going to be seen, heard, and understood. In Evangelium Vitae, Pope John Paul II invites us to a contemplative outlook, to see every person with reverence and love as a sacred gift entrusted by God. The Sisters of Life describe the most common fears that can crowd the heart of a woman in an unplanned pregnancy as, I am all alone, I am not enough, it's all up to me, there's no room for this baby in the heart of the father, there's no room for this baby in the hearts of the family. If we can understand these fears, we can grow in compassion and do what they describe as love her into life. We want her to discover that she is not alone and that we're going to be with her on this journey. And there is strength to be found in community, right? That's why you ladies keep showing up every week for Wings. Community is so important. Our hope is that through education and accompaniment, she begins to see her own capacity to choose an option of hope, whether parenting or making an adoption plan, rather than one that is shaped by fear. Henry Nouwen reminds us that to heal our sense of unworthiness, we must claim that belovedness. He speaks of the inner disciplines that shape our lives, the daily choices that either strengthen or weaken our awareness of being loved. Life is made up of small choices, and over time they form the path by which we live as the beloved. Nouwen also reminds us that community is one of the greatest disciplines because we need others to reflect that love back to us, reflect God's love back. And so I ask, can we help our young moms claim their belovedness, not only in the consultation room, but beyond? Can we grow in virtue together, strengthening these muscles that keep us grounded in Christ and be a beacon of hope? When we're in the consultation room and sharing options, our hope is to help her begin to imagine her yes, whether that is parenting or adoption. Our role is to ensure she understands all three of her choices. They are her choices. She has to make the decision. We can't have her coming back a year later saying, hey, you made me do this, you made me do that. She needs to come to it all on her own. Whether it's parenting, adoption, abortion. Many of the women we encounter in the sacred space not only don't know their belovedness, they don't have anyone reflecting that truth back to them. Family who says, hey, you can do this. I will help you. I love you. We will figure this out together. I remember one moment in the consultation room when a pregnant teen shared that her own mother told her she regretted not aborting her. As the Sisters of Life would say, how can we breathe life into someone who has only known darkness? And yet, thank God, there is only one Savior of the world. I remind my team often, the measure of our success is not how many babies are saved. The measure of our success is how well we love and how much love we pour out. That's a good, great, godly day. Let's take a look at what this looks like. Let's explore door number one. Door number one, open it. Take a peek inside. Parenting, can you see yourself? Maybe it's sooner than you thought. Maybe you're not in the right place. Let's talk through this. Let's share about the support that we provide. On November 20th of 2024, we received a phone call from the young man you see in this photo. His girlfriend was 20 weeks pregnant and had an abortion scheduled for 7 a.m. the next morning, the day before her 18th birthday. He was desperate. Can you help me? That's a talk in and of itself, too. But by the grace of God and with the promise of ongoing support, instead of going to that appointment, Jiritsi was in our office at 7 a.m. the next morning, not at the abortion clinic. At first, she said yes to door number two, making an adoption plan. With the support of the monthly benevolent grant, she began to feel some stability. Meanwhile, her partner, Sebastian, wrestled with his emotions. Adoption? Can I adopt my own baby? He thought. How do I do this? What are my rights in this? Through attending weekly programs and meeting regularly with her mentor, Jiritsi slowly began to see that she could still pursue her dreams. School, running a business, It would just look different. Her confidence grew. You could see it in the way she spoke, in the way she carried herself. By the end of her pregnancy, she had made a new decision. She chose to walk through door number two. I'm sorry, to walk through door number one to parent. I share this story because not only was life breathed into Jiritsy, she's now breathing life into the diocese through her faithfulness. I don't know many of you, maybe you have seen her or not. She runs a coffee cart business that regularly pops up at local parishes and always gives 10% of earnings back to the church. She's working her way through college. She helps to run the Life Center social media because she understands the culture. And recently she called the center. It was our day off, but she asked if we could open. She had a friend at risk for abortion. Their daughter Liliana just turned one on Monday. The whole family has been transformed by her yes. And so both Sebastian and Jiritsy claimed their belovedness, saying, "Yes, Lord." That ripple effect is going to last long after we're gone. We can't even speak to what that's going to look like. Those really were her daughter's feet, by the way. Because of stories like this, we knew we needed to walk with our families beyond that initial yes. Our virtue-based parenting programs are thriving. They are, of course, incentivized. How else do you get teenagers to show up for a Saturday morning program? We focus on our teens, the most vulnerable, because their brains are still developing, and they are often the most open to new possibilities. Each month, our young parents are introduced to a new virtue to form them into the mothers and fathers God is calling them to be. We want to help form good habits. Our board and our team, too, practice the virtue. To practice virtue is a choice. It's an ascent to the truth. We must continue to climb the mountain of virtue, never settling or thinking we've arrived. That's from a beautiful book called Magnify. St. Gregory of Nyssa says, "The goal of a virtuous life is to become like God." Across our programs, from Baby Basics to Mommy Me to our first Thursday luncheon to Walking with Moms and Dads, we explore each virtue within ourselves, in relationships, and learn how to cultivate it. It helps to strengthen communication and supports them in their role as mothers and fathers. Our young parents teach us so much about growing in virtue. Again, we don't push our Catholic faith on our families. We strive to model Christ and entrust the rest to the Holy Spirit. At the same time, each program includes a corresponding scripture verse that we pray together. Many of her families have returned to church, please talk to Kim, baptized their baby in the faith, shared that they're experiencing greater joy, especially through the community they find at the center. But we can't keep them there. That's where we need you, and that's why we invite our moms to our parishes within the whole diocese. We need these families back in the church. Oh, and that photo you saw of Father C holding the baby at Holy Family Church, we regularly invite our families to join us for Mass. It's the closest parish to the center, and each October we hold a baby shower where we invite our families to come meet our priests, our parishioners, and we've even held our first monthly, our first Thursday luncheon in the rectory. So that picture of him holding the baby was taken in the rectory. Our young fathers are supported as well. We've purchased work boots, helped with new tires, assisted with bills during difficult times. They too have been the recipients of the benevolent grant. Fathers need the support. There was a time, I will never ever forget this phone call, a man called wanting to know how we could help him. His wife was aborting their baby. He even called the police station and said, "What can you do? My wife is aborting my child. It's my child." And they told him the sad truth, that that father had no right to claim the life of that child. One of our young dads, Juan, recently completed a full 12-week session of That Man Is You. If you're familiar with the program, that thing's like 12 weeks long, and you got to be there at 6:30, 7 in the morning. We are so proud of him, of his confidence. It is obvious, and he is celebrating. He just received a job offer. His wife is celebrating. It's beautiful. To see our young parents support one another and encourage one another and grow is a powerful witness to belovedness. Next slide. Not every woman is ready to walk through door number one, and that's where we gently open the door to adoption. Adoption is not a last resort. It is a loving and courageous choice. A mother is not giving up her child as much as she is gifting her child. She's making a plan, one that is rooted in love for her child's future, choosing what is best for her child, even at great personal cost. And like everything we do, it requires accompaniment. Adoption holds both love, and a woman should never have to carry the sadness. There is sadness, there is regret that comes with that. It is hard to gift your child. But we walk with her, not just in the decision, but long after. Both of the young women you see here, Vanessa and Allie, remain in relationship with their mentors. They are not alone. They are still journeying together. Allie, who had the courage not only to choose life, but to choose her to gift her baby for adoption, was gifted a grant to help her pursue her college dreams. On the right, Vanessa, who was previously abortion determined, had the courage to choose life because of ongoing mentoring. Her mentor took this photo of her while in the delivery room, and mentor was with her when she gifted her baby for adoption, and mentor is still with her, and that too is its own talk. This part of the mission is deeply personal to me. Earlier, I shared that I believed my mother carried wounds I didn't fully understand until later in life. It wasn't until after she passed that I came to learn that at 18 years old, my mom was forced to make an adoption plan for her unplanned pregnancy, her very first beloved daughter. I don't believe she was supported in that decision the way women are today, and I wish I could talk to her about it. I believe that shame of the pregnancy and the grief that stayed with her shaped the way that she loved me and the decisions that she made for me. When a woman is truly accompanied with a Christ-centered relationship, adoption can become a path toward healing and hope because she claimed her belovedness. And yet, this is not the message most women are hearing. We live in a culture that often makes it easier to choose fear than to choose hope. A culture where in a moment of crisis, abortion is presented as the quickest, or most accessible, the easiest solution. This map shows just how available that option is. Every one of those red dots represents a place a woman can go to abort her baby. That is contrary to her dignity, and she does not even know it. These clinics are disguising as women's health care. Again, it can't be health care. They don't care about her health if they're providing something harmful. And so the question becomes, how do we reach her first? How do we replace those red dots of fear with dots of hope and support? It's you. It's you. Anytime you remind someone, I know a place that can help, or let me cook you dinner tonight, or maybe not, let me pick up dinner for you tonight, right? Because if she only hears one message, one voice that tells her that this is her only other option, we may never penetrate that sea of red dots. 2 years ago, our board made a very intentional decision at the Life Center. We chose to include accurate abortion information on our website. Not because we provide or refer to it, but because the love and care that we provide needs to be found. This has everything to do with algorithms. When a woman is searching online in a moment of fear, typing abortion information near me, praise the Lord, the Life Center is going to pop up. Why? Because we can speak to and educate on abortion. Okay, next one. So what does it actually look like when a woman finds us? This is an example on the left of a pending appointment request. That's what we see if she schedules online. The reason for the appointment, she says, is I'm interested in the abortion pill, and she lets us know her last menstrual period. So right away, just by nature of that appointment request, we know, okay, she's shopping for an abortion, gives us a lot more information, we're better prepared. Then she comes in, she's got forms to fill out. This is our moment. It's our moment to call on him, right? Because again, we can't do this without him. When she comes in, we believe she deserves to know the truth about all of her options. Our job is to educate her about abortion, both surgical and chemical, the potential risks, and the emotional and physical impact. We also share something that the world rarely tells her or knows about. If a woman has taken that first abortion pill and regrets that decision, there is a window up to 72 hours where she can reverse that decision. Spread that news. Spread that news. And so many of the women we encounter don't know that. And so why? So that's why, okay, in our sacred space, I'm still sensing that you abortion is still your number one option. I need to tell you, we get phone calls from women who have taken that first abortion pill and they want to reverse it. Just educating this to her, it rests on her heart and she has that with her. Our hope is even more that the Lord is going to intervene there and she is going to call us. So we get these calls and text messages. I just took the first pill, you can see from this one here, and I regret it. I've made a mistake. I just took the first pill to the abortion and I want to reverse it. Are you awake? I don't know what to do. I didn't want to speak up out of fear. I didn't tell my mom. I'm unsure if I'm doing the right thing right now. I'm sad and I've made a mistake. I'm scared of continuing the pregnancy because I don't know if my partner loves me the way I do him. I was scared to be alone and pregnant. I'm now crying thinking about my baby and thinking about how I care more about the baby than him. Wow, that baby was saved. God bless her. God bless her for reaching out for support. We see that text. We didn't see it at midnight. But first thing in the morning and getting her set up with the abortion pill reversal, the information is right there. She came to get excited about parenting that baby. And then a few weeks after she gave birth, she realized someone else is more equipped to do this. I can love and pray at a distance. So Liz was very courageous. She claimed her belovedness. It's an answer to prayer and sharing an exciting new chapter for the Life Center, one that will unfold in just a few months. We are moving toward providing Catholic, life-affirming medical care for families at risk for abortion. We are entering into what I like to call a beautiful marriage with a nonprofit, another Catholic nonprofit, called the Order of Malta. I am telling you, we have been praying for years. How do we become medical? How do we become medical? And the whole time, he's up there saying, I got something better. I got something better. And boy, does he. So just a few steps away from our current location, we'll be able to walk our moms over there. Order of Malta will only be caring for our Life Center moms for year number one. Their hope and their prayer is for year number two to start caring for the babies and then the whole family. Free medical care, Catholic style, life-affirming. Ah, so exciting. Remember our Blessed Mother's words at Cana, do whatever he tells you. Being able to provide this care is part of that response of love and compassion. I need to emphasize this word, compassion. We do encounter women who have had previous abortions, and we love them. We love them the way we love, and the way the Lord loves us. We have to love like Jesus does. We also refer to Hope and Healing within the diocese. It's a beautiful ministry. I suggest you have Rebecca Freeman come and give a message on Hope and Healing after abortion. Okay, next one. And how can you help? Well, everything is coming up flowers because Mother's Day is coming so quickly. Thank you. Again, St. Martin's number one supporter. I am overwhelmed by your donations, your gifts, your love. So keep doing what you're doing. I'm not here to say, hey, guys, you're not doing anything. You have been well formed, my goodness. The prayer vigils on the sidewalk, anytime you're there, you want to make sure you have a brochure, something to hand out. And Kim has those here. We do have more at the center. We didn't bring a lot because we want you to come and see the Life Center so you can see for yourself how amazing this is. We also have a need for gently used toddler clothing. A lot of our moms have older children or they're getting older, so please have a clothing drive. We would love that. And I always get people coming up to me after talk saying, oh, I want to volunteer with the Life Center. It's right here in our communities. It's right here in our homes, right? And when I say, when Mother Mary says, do whatever he tells you, maybe he's telling you to rest, and that's needed. Maybe he's telling you to pray. Maybe he's telling you just to make some jello, right? And invite someone over to share his good news with. I mean, claiming our belovedness. I don't want you to think, I already have too much on my plate, Megan. I can't do anymore. Look at what you are doing, claiming your belovedness. And I would encourage you to tune into that more, right? What does that look like for you? When the Ducks win, they will have claimed their belovedness. We hope that happens. And then, I just want to say, when I look back, I can see clearly that God was not just calling me to do something. He was calling me to become someone, and how my mom had a part of my becoming who I am today, to become his, to live as his beloved, and help others do the same. So I thank you. I thank you, St. Martin's. I do want to share. My mom, before my mom passed, about 6 weeks before she died, she sent a check to a significant donation to the Life Center. She came to really respect the work that I was doing, but never shared this secret that she carried on her heart. When she sent that check, she was not a woman for great words. There were only two on there. There was a note that said, carry on. Mom, I will. I will carry on. So I'm grateful to my mother. I'm grateful to God. And let's build a culture of life together. God bless you, ladies. Thank you.